Brilliant. Thank you. And we are here to talk about the football roundup, which is, well, this is the full football disclosure. And full disclosure, I should let you know, I am a Liverpool supporter. So if I am ever so slightly biased in my opinion, you know why. So we had quite a lot of goals last week, and it was, yeah, full of goals and full of controversy because it's the Premier League, and the Premier League can't go a week without some kind of controversy, right?
What do you think? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Every week, something going on. Always something to talk going about. On.
Keepers handling from outside of the box. Kyle Walker being out of position because he's talking to a referee. Was that? Yeah, that was a whole big thing. Haaland. Yeah, Haaland. Yeah. You know,
nightmare for defenders, nightmare for coaches.
Nightmare for Mikel Arteta.
Yeah.
But I think where I want to start by talking about the Midlands derby. That was Aston Villa Wolves, which saw Wolves obviously heading off to Aston Villa. Bit of a nightmare season so far for Wolves. They seem to be just about doing almost enough for a win, but not quite getting the win. I think Gary O'Neill, he'll be quite disappointed with not getting a bit more from the game. But for me personally, I have to say Aston Villa, they're having an amazing season. Unai Emery, I think he is one of the, how can I put it? He is a coach to watch. He's a manager to watch. I think he's a manager that quite possibly is one of the top managers in the Premier League. Maybe the top three, possibly. That might be... You're shaking your head. You disagree. Well,
he was great. He was great at Arsenal as well. He had a really, really good time at Arsenal.
I think he never got a proper shot at Arsenal. That was the issue.
But now he does have, and he's doing a great job. Absolutely. I mean, Aston Villa are top four. Mm-hmm. Wolves are dead bottom. That being said, I do like Gary O'Neill. I think he's a good manager as well. Yep. And as you said, just not quite there, are they? Just that final product is not quite there.
Yeah.
I think they'll do better. I think they'll pick it up.
I think so,
They just need a little bit of luck, get a couple of goals in, get a win, and then that confidence goes up. And I think they'll... Wolves are not a... I think they established themselves as
a good Premier League side. Yeah,
like mid-table team at least, right?
And this, considering this is a team that's lost quite a few big players in this one last season. So I think Gary O'Neill, he's doing an amazing job. He's an English manager. He's one to watch for the future as well. But I wouldn't be disheartened if I was Gary O'Neill. I think he's having an okay season despite the fact they're rock bottom. But Aston Villa, let's talk about Aston Villa for a bit, because, you know, top four last season, Champions League, they had a great game against, what was it, the Young Boys, absolutely dominated Young Boys, 3-0 win in their first Champions League in how long? Years.
Years.
Probably years. And, you know, I think Unai Emery has a good problem in what do you do with Duran Duran? What do you do with Duran Duran, who keeps scoring goals off the bench? In fact, he actually got two. One was disallowed. So what do you do with the guy who comes off the bench and keeps banging in goals? Because you've got Ollie Watkins there, and he's their clear number one. But
you either change the tactics to incorporate both.
Yeah.
But of course, they do have Champions League. And my concern with them would be, do they have the squad to compete at both levels of Champions League and Premier League? They do now have two good strikers that they can rely on in, let's say, just one for the Champions League and one for the Premier League until the latter stages.
Yes.
That might be a way to do it. Mm. If he's getting cup football and he's getting big games in the Champions League, that could keep him.
It could keep him, but I think as a player, if I were a player and I'm scoring goals off the bench, I think I would be banging on the manager's door. Get me on. I need to be starting. But either way, I think Unai Emery, he's got a positive problem on his hand, and I'm pretty sure Villa should have a pretty good season as the season progresses. Next, I want to talk about, Liverpool.
Full disclosure, I'm also a Liverpool fan.
There you go. Thank you.
Very biased in here today.
If we're sounding ever so, you can't see our smile from here, obviously, because this is all audio. But yeah, we had a really decent game. Didn't start off well.
I did wonder. Yeah. Oh, here we go again. When you're conceding 3 minutes in.
I thought it was somewhat echoes of last season where we were losing control of games. We're letting teams play a little too much football, and then, you know, inadvertently they score goals, and then we're back to it again. We're, you know, fighting to get back into the games. But saying that, I think Arnislot needed a positive response from losing at home to Forest last week, wasn't
got
it?
Got the midweek result, yeah. And that was it.
And
it?
We had the
great midweek
yeah.
result,
yeah,
and then that right. maybe gave us the confidence to go into this one and say, okay, because they went behind in that game,
yeah,
and then came back
early
to get a good win
well, yeah,
early on,
exactly.
and then came back to get a good win.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, the goal was disallowed.
Yeah.
There was still some very sloppy play from. I'm looking at it, and some of the passing, I'm thinking you can't do that. Bigger teams are going to punish you.
Yes.
No disrespect, of
Absolutely.
Course, but bigger
yeah.
teams will punish you if you do things like that.
Yeah.
I know he wants to play possession football,
mm-hmm.
And I know he wants to play through the midfield,
mm-hmm.
and that's great, but
yes.
you've got to be able to keep hold of that ball and not give away silly passes.
Silly passes. But saying that, though, you know, we have to have a special mention to Luis Diaz, who I think is having an amazing season
he
right
had
now.
An incredible preseason as
he
well.
Has a, he
he's
did.
Really,
he
really
did.
Well.
He did.
And he's just kept it going, and I hope it continues throughout.
I hope
you
so
can't
as
take
well.
Him out of the team, can
yeah.
you?
Yeah, no, oh. When you're playing like that, you're scoring goals and you're assisting? Absolutely not. But also, I want to have a special mention to Ryan Gravenberch. Ryan Gravenberch. Sometimes I look and I think, is it Yaya Toure? Is it Patrick Vieira? No, it's Ryan Gravenberch striding through midfield, assisting, winning the ball. He's everywhere. He is categorically what you expect a box-to-box midfielder to be. And I think he is having a great season. You know, obviously, we had the disappointment with... what was his name? Zubimendi, who decided last minute that he didn't want to move to Liverpool because of the weather or the lack of tapasses or whatever it might be. Who knows? But Ryan Gravenberch, honestly, he stepped up and, you know, he's having a great season. And thank God for that.
As soon as he's been put in that position by Slot, he has been absolute boss in every single game. I think he's already had two Man of the Matches,
at least. And the Champions League as well.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just absolutely dominating people, as you say, picking up the ball,
finding
the right passes, passing forward, being positive. He's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
He's been incredible.
Yeah.
I would like to throw another shout out, though, to somebody who... I have been a bit worried about this season. We've got a goal.
I know who you're going to say.
Darwin Nunez gets his first start. Because it looked like it was all going to be Jota.
You saw how much it meant to him.
He was
close to tears. I mean, I want this guy to succeed so badly. He's just, there's something about him. I speak Spanish. I lived in Mexico for 6 years. And I like to call him the El Chaotico, the chaotic one.
Yeah, Captain Chaos.
And Captain Chaos. But that's what he is. He can pop in with just an amazing goal like that, just out of the blue. But you know, I hope he does well, and I hope you know this hopefully kickstarts his season.
A bit of consistency. Obviously, he did hit the post. He has records for hitting the woodwork most times in the game, and he did actually manage to hit the post again. But this time it went in. So if he just gets a little bit more of that luck, when he does hit the post or the bar. Then it actually goes in the goal instead of going off somewhere else.
Yeah, and not missing the sitters, because I think that's a big thing for him. He misses a lot of sitters.
Yeah.
Moving on, Newcastle, Fulham. And, I should say Fulham, Newcastle, because I think Newcastle were lost somewhere on the A1, from what I gathered, because they didn't turn up.
No.
They don't. And I mentioned this to another teacher. Newcastle, they don't tend to do well when they have to go south of Tyneside, wherever. You know, whenever they're heading to London.
Basically anywhere south.
Anywhere south. Basically anywhere south. They never do quite well. But I think Fulham themselves are having quite a decent season. They, for some reason, seem to have at least 4 or 5 ex-Arsenal players. It's in Bernd Leno, Nelson... It will be Smith Rowe. This is becoming the Arsenal B team in Fulham. Yeah. I guess they don't have to travel too far. It's just from north to west London for them. So I guess they're pretty comfortable. And I have to say, Fulham having a quiet, successful season the way it's going. So let's...
They've been a bit like that for a while, though, haven't
they? They've
shown glimpses of being really good. They've had some great results. But, you know, they've not really lit anything up. They're not competing at the highest level, but they're there and thereabouts. Whereas Newcastle, all that hope after the takeover seems to now be kind of fading a little bit. I like Eddie Howe. I think he's a great manager.
Okay.
But
okay. I'm not a fan.
Not a fan.
I'm not a fan.
No, I think he did some brilliant stuff. Like he was at Bournemouth, wasn't he?
He did
some good stuff.
He was.
And I think he's a good manager.
Yeah.
For whatever reasons, I mean, Guimarães.
Guimarães, Brazilian.
He had a bit of a shocker, didn't he?
He did. But I think it's a one-off. I'd say it's, you know, it's like I said, they're lost in the A1 somewhere, possibly. I think, you know, they'll have games like that throughout the season. I think that's the issue with Newcastle. It's going to be inconsistencies, but, you know, we shouldn't worry about Newcastle going down or anything like that. But who knows? Who knows? Anything can happen. It's the Premier League. Mm. And moving on, we've got Spurs and Brentford. That was a 3-1 win for Spurs. But, you know, I think this kind of masks some of the issues that Spurs actually have. And I want to say, I think Ange Postecoglou, it's getting a bit negative now, isn't it? With he and the fans. It's
It was very positive. Everyone was talking about Ange Ball and the wonder of it all.
because he can play nine men in front of the ball or a high line after having two men sent off. I think Ange Ball, it's positive. You know, we want to see positive football like that in the Premier League. But I think, yeah, it's souring a little bit, I think, for me.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that was a great result for Spurs because, they, much like Newcastle, have been very inconsistent with their results. Mm-hmm. And, I think the Spurs fans expect better. They've got a good team. They've got some good players. But they're just not getting the results that they should be getting.
No.
So that bubble has certainly burst, I think, the Ange Ball bubble.
But saying that, I think one positive is Dominic Solanke, who was unlucky. I think unlucky. He scored 19, 20 goals last season. He was unlucky not to go to the Euros. But, you know, he got his first goal. He's just come back from injury. And I think, you know, he might quietly have a nice, positive season. Obviously, it's big shoes to fill. He's replacing, you know, Harry Kane. Obviously, you know, you can't replace Harry Kane. You know, it's Harry Kane. But I think, Dominic Solanke getting a goal for Spurs is actually pretty positive. I also want to have a positive mention for, what's his name? It's Brian Mbeumo, Brentford, who stepped in to big shoes with Wissa getting injured and what's his name moving on to Saudi Arabia to make as much money as possible. So he's not betting on games while he's out there.
No, obviously not.
But Brian Mbeumo, I think he's having a very, very good season. If you are, partial to the fantasy football, maybe he's one to look at.
I think so. I was gutted when Wissa went out because I did have him in my fantasy football team.
Gutted.
So I had him in my draft teams. It's not as easy to change players when you're doing draft fantasy.
No.
It's disappointing. He's out for a while. Quality player. And Mbeumo was good last season though as well, wasn't he?
He steps up
with goals. Yeah. He gets assists.
Yeah.
He's a big, strong player. Yeah. He's very good. Very good.
Yeah. And let's move on to Chelsea and West Ham. That was a 3-0 win away for Chelsea. And, somehow Chelsea... This Chelsea with about how many players in their roster? 30, 40? We've lost count.
I don't think they know either.
I don't think they know. I think, I'd love to see what the Chelsea gym looks like because it must be a situation where players are having to put towels on the machines because they want to, they need to make sure they don't lose their spot. Exactly. But no, Chelsea had a good game away. It was a Nicholas Jackson double and Cole Palmer.
Great season so far, Jackson. He's doing very well. He's in great form again.
Yeah.
He's one to have in your fantasy football league. I do have him in mine.
I would be careful with Jackson in your fantasy football. He's a bit, for me, still a bit inconsistent. But saying that, I think maybe things might be changing for Chelsea. Possibly things are improving with the 30, 40 players they have on their roster. Their manager, Enzo Maresca, I believe his name is. I think, it's a tough one working with Chelsea, isn't it? You know, you look at the merry-go-round of managers. You know, how many managers have they had in the last 5 years, 10 years? It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And the amount of money spent is insane.
Over a billion.
And again, I've got to think the FIFA Fair Play has got to be coming in here somewhere. I mean, how can they afford to have all these players and spend all this money on all these players?
There are ways. I think there are financial ways that Chelsea gets away with it. And I think some of those ways include selling hotels to Paris Saint-Germain in France. And apparently you can absorb the cost or you can absorb losses if you sell hotels. Apparently, because I have no idea what hotels have to do with football. But anyway, Chelsea have somehow avoided bans and everything else of that nature. And they've got, 30 players with about another 30 loaned out. Something ridiculous like that. Anyway, moving on, we have got, let's show a little bit of respect to the new side. The two teams that have come up, Southampton and Ipswich. Russell Martin, who is the Southampton manager, who is absolutely dead set on playing his style of football. And unfortunately, I don't think they're going to stay up.
I don't think they are either.
I think both sides are looking, it's going to be tough. And, you know, the game ended 1-1. Obviously, I think Southampton led up until the 90th or the 87th minute with Ipswich getting a goal back. But it doesn't look good for those two sides, does it?
No, Southampton are a bit of a yo-yo team anyway. They're up and down, up and down, up and down. I'd like to see Ipswich do well because they haven't been in the top division for so long.
It's been over 20 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That it'd be nice for them to have a little bit of a stint. But I agree with you. I think I can't see them, as it stands at the moment, staying up. It's going to be tricky.
It's going to be a tough one. And moving on from two definite relegation candidates to two potential relegation candidates, which is Leicester and Everton, which also ended 1-1. A big thing for Everton, again, full disclosure.
Yeah, you all know who we want to go down.
Well, that's the thing. I think it's more hilarious watching Everton continuously score two goals and then lose those two goals and lose those. It's incredible. You know, it was two games, the game against Bournemouth, and I can't remember the other side that they were 2-0 up and they ended up losing 3-2. I think it's a big thing for Everton. Stop the rot. They absolutely stopped the rot because that was two losses on a trot. And yeah, and Leicester. You know, Leicester, I think I want to say Leicester sleptwalked into relegation last season. Two seasons ago. There's no reason why Leicester should have gone down, but they did somehow, and now they're back anyway. But I think they are definitely two sides that should be careful.
Definitely. Well, yeah. I mean, the thing about Everton for me with Dyche in is the one complaint you might have had it about him at previous teams was they don't score enough goals.
No.
Or they can't get ahead in games. Now they can.
They can.
And the one thing that he's you know, renowned for is having, like, you know,
solid defensive teams.
And he can't seem to get that right. So that is worrying for Everton.
I don't think
he'll be keeping his job past Christmas if he doesn't sort it out.
Well, here's the problem though. You know, you get rid of Dyche. Who do you replace him with?
Southgate.
Everton, they are definitely going down if that's the case.
Yeah, I think so as well. Sorry, that's what I was saying, go for it. Yeah, it's a bit biased.
This is full disclosure. We are Liverpool supporters. This is why, you know, there's no sympathy here. We are laughing. Sorry to the Evertonians.
I throw this one out there because I was reading that that Southgate apparently has got a club lined up.
Okay.
So we may well be seeing him in the Premier League. I don't know how much of that is truth, but I was reading this morning that apparently there's, you know, he's had talks and aren't Everton in the midst of a takeover?
I think so. They are. I read literally just this morning.
And takeover came up in the article I read, and that's why I thought, could it be Everton?
But could it be for the next team we're going to move on to, which is Palace and United, which had a nil, they played out a 0-0 draw somehow. Goal, but it was chances. There were so many chances, but somehow United, the most inconsistent team, and again, full disclosure, you know, we're not going to be sympathetic to United's plights right now. I think it's absolutely funny and hilarious watching the United, whatever's happened at United happen. But saying that, I think Southgate at United, could that happen? Is that something that United could flirt with? Because Ten Hag, he looks miserable. He looks like a sad, sad man. I think they described it, he looks like a teacher going into the bottom set of a class or bottom set of a group. And it's just, he just doesn't look like he knows what to do anymore.
No, I've got to be honest. I'm a bit surprised because Rashford started on the bench.
That was an odd one.
And when you're thinking he's just finding form, you know, he's getting goals, he's finding form. Why are you dropping him? Why isn't he getting game time? Why aren't you starting him? He's finally getting to a point where he's starting to look a little bit like his old self again.
Yeah.
And you bench him.
And you bench him. Exactly. And I think this is the issue with United. It's so inconsistent. They are just so inconsistent. And I think they need a bit more consistency. And they do that probably by changing the manager. Because Ten Hag, I think his time is done. I think his time could be done. Because you don't go from a 3-0 loss against Liverpool to then a 3-0 win against Southampton to a draw. It's just, you know, you need to build on whatever it is that he's trying to build on. I don't think he knows what he's building on right now. So
I thought he was lucky to keep his job.
I agree.
Before. But that being said, I mean, he did win some stuff. And the way he would say it is, well, you look at my trophies, you know. I think he used Klopp as an example. You look what Klopp's won over the last couple of years. And since I've been at United, look how many trophies I've won. I mean, I guess, yeah, fair enough to a certain degree.
He's won a League Cup, I believe, and he's won a couple of FA Cups, maybe. But that's a bigger issue. You mask these issues by winning cups. And unfortunately, I have to say, winning cups is not... We shouldn't take the winning of cups as a manager having a good season or having doing a good job. I think, you know, we need to pay closer attention because the league... is the benchmark.
Yeah.
It's the clear reflection of actually where you are and how you're doing as a team. And anyway, let's move on to our, well, before we talk about the big game, Brighton Forest, which ended 2-2. I think Brighton were up, and I have to say a special mention to Mr. Danny Welbeck, who's having a bit of a renaissance.
Yeah, he's doing well.
He's coming back. Scored against United. He scored, I think, in the first game of the season. He scored against Forest, obviously. And, you know, he's quietly having a very positive season. So I think that's great for Mr. Welbeck at whatever age he is, at 30-something plus years old. And Chris Wood, who's another one who's having a quietly positive season. I think we should keep an eye on that, especially for your fantasy football.
Yeah, he's certainly an option. I do have Welbeck, actually,
you do?
Already.
Oh, okay. Okay, good move.
I saw that he was kind of, he's doing things. Wood, not so much. Although Wood was pretty good last season
as well.
He popped up with a few good goals, didn't he?
He came back from injury and scored a few goals.
I think he's just carrying on from where he left off. But yeah, it's Forest, I think, will be all right.
I think I like
a lot of what they're doing. Obviously, I didn't like that they beat us, but, you know, I think they were pretty good. So I think Forest will be fine.
Yeah.
Brighton
will be fine.
There
are no issues with Brighton. I think Brighton are using a model of football or whatever the Brighton CEOs are doing. It's working. You know, they lost a very good manager in De Zerbi. They replaced him with this complete unknown. Can't pronounce his name. I think he's from Switzerland.
Herzl,
who won Manager of the Month. So I think, you know, they're having a pretty good season, and, you know, they just keep somehow producing these players from wherever it is, from Colombia, from Ecuador, from random places around the world. But I think, yeah, Brighton are having a pretty decent season. They'll continue to have a pretty decent season.
Behind the scenes, I think they've got things in place.
A very well run side. Yeah. And moving on to the last game, which was City and Arsenal. Here's a question. Who is happier? City, Arsenal? Because Arsenal, obviously, they led 2-1 for a majority of the game. Somehow, they saw themselves ahead. But then they conceded that 97th minute to John Stones. So who should be happier? Because they're playing against a City side that hasn't lost at home for, what, close to 2 or 3 years?
Well, going into the game, Arsenal were fine with a draw, I think. I think if they come away with a draw, they'll be like, that was a good result. You know, we can go toe-to-toe with the, you know, so-called best team. Well, okay.
So-called.
Okay. The best team in the league. Okay,
they are.
Yeah, they are the best team. So if you can go toe-to-toe with them, I think, before the game, I think when you're 2-1 up, fantastic. Having a player sent off, that obviously that's...
Controversial.
Yeah. He would say he didn't hear the whistle. And then, you know, when he kicked the ball away, he was trying to play a pass on.
The rules are the rules.
That's not how the referee saw it. Yeah. So it is what it is. And he's off. So they'll be gutted because you want to go out and win it. But I mean, pre-game, they would have taken the draw. So it's, you know, I don't think they're going to be too disheartened by it. City do what they always do. Yeah. They chip away. They'll get that goal. You assume it's going to happen.
If you saw the statistic, the second half statistic, I think Arsenal had zero shots on target, and City had close to 30 shots with, you know, 10 of them on target. They are a machine. I think whatever Guardiola has built is a team that never gives up. And, you know, so I think maybe from, you know, if you look at it, I think maybe City will be disappointed. They'll be disappointed that, well, first they went two goals down, but they didn't go back and actually win the game against a 10-man Arsenal. I think that City will be the disappointed side. And I think, you know, Mikel Arteta will actually be, you know, he's smiling like a Cheshire cat, you know, getting away with whatever it is. He got away with a point. But more important, I think City will also be the more disappointed side because Rodri, we've obviously heard he's out for the season.
That's a big, big loss.
They're
a different team without him, aren't they?
Massively. And I think, you know, we never really want to see players out for the season or players injured. But I think, you know, sides will be looking at that and thinking, actually, I think we can take City now without Rodri. You know, I think he has a crazy statistic. I don't think he's ever lost a game.
I didn't know that.
I don't think he's ever lost a game. It's something that I might look into that, but I'm fairly sure Rodri has probably never lost a game again while playing for City. It's, you know, it's a shocking, it's a crazy statistic possibly, but you know, a City team without Rodri is just, it's nothing. And also, I think De Bruyne is out as well. So
yeah, De Bruyne is out as well. Yeah. To be honest, I think Haaland was lucky not to. To escape any kind of punishment for his antics in that game as well. A couple of points, a couple before of things he did before and after.
Yeah.
Before, during, and after, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah,
I think he was very lucky. His attitude was not great.
No,
you don't want to see that.
No, I'm also disappointed in the guy who's breaking records, and he's been in the news in a positive way, and that's what we want to hear about Haaland and his goal scoring antics. What we don't want to hear about is Haaland being rude, Haaland being disrespectful to people like Mikel Arteta, who deserves a modicum of respect. He is a manager of the opposing side, and I think, you know, you cannot speak to people like that. You should not be speaking to people like that. And
I don't think he should be throwing a ball at the back of somebody's head as part of a goal celebration either. I mean, it's very disrespectful.
No.
So it's very, very naughty, and the fact that nothing happened with that.
Yes.
I think it's a bit surprising. Because, I mean, if they lost Haaland as well, they'd be real trouble for the next few games.
Yeah. I think they lose Haaland without Rodri, no De Bruyne. I think they're just like, basically like everyone else. Just a regular side. Anyway, that was the full football roundup. That's the week's goals and bit of controversy, a lot of goals. Let's hope it continues for an exciting. This is great. That was game week 5, wasn't it? So... yeah, game week 6. We're obviously away in the golden week, but we'll be back with the football roundup for game week 7. So looking forward to you guys listening, and thank you very much. I'm Dean Sanusi. Marty, thank you very much for contributing. I hope you can get in some few of those points, because I think you've got some very, very good interesting football knowledge that I'd like to tap into.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do that.
Brilliant. Thank you, everyone. Bye bye.
Bye bye.